Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you and the leadership team asking me to speak today. I appreciate all the help that I've got to put this together. Diane has put a little insert into your bullet, and I'll talk about that in just a second. And just Carrie and Steve helping me out back there, and just people as I'm coming into church encouraging me. I appreciate that a lot. I'm going to start off by saying this. I am not an expert on how you go from one pastor to the next pastor. I have not written any books. I really am not well-versed in that. But what I have observed, I think, are some similarities in a track meet. There are things called relays, where this thing has to move around the track in an efficient, fast manner. And I think that literal exchange, that handoff that occurs, there's a lot of similarities between that and handing off leadership from one person to another. So I hope I can maybe show a couple of those similarities as I talk today. The insert is kind of like, for me, and I know I'm not going to be filling out the insert up here, but I tell my students, and I have students in here that I've taught before, and they've heard me say this before, I'm a professional daydreamer. I mean, it is a high art for me. I can daydream with the best of them. And I think what's happened as I get older, I daydream more. And I don't like that, because if I'm daydreaming, I'm not listening. And my wife is, yeah, she's smiling, I figured that. So a lot of times what I do to try to like make sure that I'm listening and paying attention is I take notes. And that helps me stay tuned into what's going on. So that's totally up to you, but all of the things, all the blanks that are on that insert, they will be up on the screen so you can fill those in as we go through. Last night, I'm going to bed a little bit earlier than I usually do last night. I wanted to get a good night's sleep, and my wife looks at me and says, well, you're going to bed? I said, well, yeah, you know, Jeff Millay, I think he likes to go to bed early on Saturday nights before he preaches. And one of the things I appreciate about my wife, and I love about my wife, is that she keeps me very balanced. She can motivate me and encourage me, and at the same time, she keeps me well-grounded. So after I said, you know, I'm going to bed a little bit early, you know, Jeff usually goes, she goes, well, you know, you're not a real preacher. I said, yeah, you're right. That's true. So, you know, guys, things come around, don't they? So check out what happens this morning. You know, we're getting ready, we're getting dressed, and I'm kind of asking because I'm like, man, what should I wear? She goes, you can wear whatever you want. So she's putting on her clothes. And I said something to her, and she goes, well, do you think this would be okay for like a pastor's wife to wear? And, oh, it was, she teed it up for me. Because I said, well, you know, I'm not a real preacher. So, again, fun stuff. But I do want to jump right in here and talk about like two goals that we want to try to accomplish today. And I love the graphic that's up there, and it didn't dawn on me. Like on one side, you see some real young runners. I'm going to guess maybe even like middle school runners going through a baton exchange. And on the other side of the screen, you see, I think those are basically Olympic caliber athletes. They are like extremely elite. So here's the interesting thing. In both those situations, whether you're 13 or 14 years old, or basically you're a professional, things can go really, really right in a baton exchange, and things can go really, really wrong. And there are so many details that go into a baton exchange, and I was telling Lane before and Amy before, because they're going to help me here in a little bit. There is so many details in a baton exchange. I had to cut a bunch of it out just because when I started to dig into this, I don't think I realized there was so much detail in it. And I think the same thing is true when leadership is passed on. There are a lot of details. But here's the cool thing. God is in all those details. And here's the cool thing. When that works and when the exchange happens, it really is a beautiful thing. It is. So, a couple of our goals today, and this is your first blank on your insert. It's to pass the baton, and we're going to let this baton represent pastoral ministry from one leader to another in a God-honoring way. And we're actually going to look at Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9, to see how that looks. How do you pass this from one leader to the next? The second goal is really for all of us. It's to be a great teammate as part of a greater team. And that greater team that we're talking about today is this body of believers that we have here at Pleasant View. And we're going to look at Romans 12, 3 through 8 to kind of emphasize that. So it's interesting when you look at being a teammate, a great teammate as far as part of a greater team. A couple things that jump out at me as far as what makes a great teammate so you can have this even greater team. The first thing is prayer. And I wrote this down beside prayer, and this really, really applies to me. So I don't think this would ever happen. I'm convinced this would never happen in our church, where we would have a faction of people, a group of people that say, you know what? Prayer is important. It's vital to our church. It's vital to my personal growth as a Christian. Prayer works. I love it. And then we would have another faction, another group say, you know what? The prayer thing, overrated. Overrated. It doesn't really hold that much value in the Christian faith. That would never happen. So I think everybody in this group, everybody in our body of believers says prayer is vital. So then it comes, and I'm talking to myself right here. So now, if I say prayer is important, it's huge. Am I interested in praying? Or am I committed to praying? And that is what makes it tough for me. Because am I interested in the effective pass of this baton from Jeff to the next leader? Yeah, I'm definitely interested. But then it really gets down to it. Am I committed? So that's going to be one of our things that we're going to focus on here in just a second. I think another big thing to be a really good teammate is that you're an encourager. You're an encourager. You're trying to look for ways, intentionally, to try to help people, to try to keep them rolling, keep them running the race that's marked out for them, as we sang in that song. Julie, I love the songs today. Awesome. The other thing is this. As this whole process goes on, am I slow to speak and quick to listen? Am I, why aren't they doing that? Well, they should be. Or should I just listen and see what's happening? The next thing is support our leaders. Support our leaders. Denny, Brian, Eric, Jeff, Diane's helping out tremendously. Our present pastor. How about the future pastor? Will we be supportive of what they're doing? And then I've thought about this a lot, probably through the last 3 or 4 years. Just kind of in a coaching and teaching role that I do. As far as attributes that I would give to a student or an athlete that I think are most important, this one has steadily rose, and I probably am placing it as number one or two right now, as the most important attribute, and that is, am I teachable and am I coachable? Now, I want to say that. I'm just being honest with you. I want to say that I'm a teachable person. I want to say that I'm a coachable person, but I think I really have to be honest with myself and say, am I really? Because then if I am teachable and coachable, then that should be reflected in my actions. That should be reflected in my attitude. That should be reflected in my relationship with my wife and my kids. What kind of, when my wife is talking to me, what does my even body posture look like? What's my body language look like? And a lot of that goes back to, am I teachable and am I coachable? I know Christy and I, we had a conversation with Caleb last night. He's in a high-level teaching situation with learning how to fly a helicopter, and they definitely had situations this week with his group of pilots where they, I think, really had to examine themselves and say, are we teachable? Are we coachable?
Are we listening to what our instructors are telling us? Are we following through on what they're telling us? So that was an interesting conversation. So if we do think that prayer is important and we do want to be committed to praying, and this, again, I'm talking to myself, I have to choose something to pray about as far as this pastoral transition goes. And for me, I have to find a cue, like something that's going to remind me, like in my daily life, that say, yeah, it's time to pray about that. You haven't been praying about it, so it's time. And I'm just being honest. As I prepared this and put this together, I tried to be real honest with myself and say, you know what, Jeff, you don't have a cue right now. Now, you pray for it every once in a while, not as much as you should, but you don't have that cue. And as I went through this, I kept struggling with that because I'm like, I need to have something so I can follow a specific action and pray. So as we get into what we're going to talk about today, you may or may not be interested in a track meet where this baton gets passed. Now, I look out here and I see some people that have passed this baton before, and they got big grins on their faces because they love that stuff. And you may be like, Jeff, I'm not really tuned into that. I don't really. But I would say this. We all are probably interested in the baton that's going to get passed from Jeff to our future pastor. And so, again, I just want to have some fun today and draw some comparisons between what happens on a track and what's going to happen here at our church. So I ran across this, and I thought this was good because I think people have these questions, like questions that people have for a new leader. And this is in your insert. The first one is, who are you? Who are you? And that kind of starts with our leadership team and Jeff kind of getting a feel through interviews. What are they like? What are they all about? We'll get maybe more of a feel of that when they come to visit us. But who are you? I would say this. You know, Robin was talking about the beginning of school. It is interesting to me when I get a group of students walk into my classroom. I know this. Automatically, they are checking me out. What is he like? What's this class going to be like? What they automatically are checking me out. And that I'm just going to go a little sidelight real quick. I would just say this about young people today. I think young people today are as discerning as they have ever been. They can spot a fake in like 10 seconds. They can. So I know when they come into my, they're checking me out. And I think for some reason, I don't know, I'm not going to get into why that may be, but they are very, very, and I say this in a positive way, critical. They look at things very, very carefully. And I think that's a great trait, actually. The second thing is, what are you going to change? The new leader, what are you going to change? What's going to be different? You know, Jeff's kind of alluded to some of those things. Is he going to be up here with a shirt out? Is he going to be reading off his phone the scripture? You know, he might even run up here in tennis shoes. Who knows? But, you know, what's he going to change? And those might be some minor things, but there could be some other changes too. He's like, maybe we should have Sunday school before we have church. Or what kind of changes are going to happen? The third thing is, where are you taking us? What's the vision of the new leader? What does he see Pleasant View doing in being most effective in their ministry? So those are kind of things to think about kind of as we go through and think about, you know, Jeff taking this baton, this ministry, and passing it to the next person. So it's interesting because in the Bible, there are many, many examples, excuse me, of leadership being passed from one person to another. Examples are like super positive. Some of them are super negative. They're like, wow. So as we go through this, think about some of the leadership traits that you see exhibited. So I know that Jeff's going to be talking about Joshua quite a bit, and he's already started with that. But the transfer of leadership from Moses to Joshua was really good. It was really good. In fact, God told this to Moses in Numbers 27, verses 18 through 19. Numbers 27, verses 18 through 19. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. So basically, God's telling Moses, Joshua's the dude. He's next. Give it to him. All right? Very plain, very straightforward. It's not like, well, whatever you think, Moses. You know, I don't know if you think Joshua's the right guy or not, but if you feel... No, he's saying he is the guy. All right? So very direct. And then in Joshua, verse 1, 8 through 9, and this is God talking to Joshua, and listen to what God says is most important in this leadership transfer. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So I think there's a lot of really fun things in that verse. And one of those is this. Joshua is a guy that saw a bunch of stuff from God. I mean, you think about the parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day, the feeding with manna, the quail coming into the camp. I mean, Joshua is a guy that's seen the power of God over and over and over again. But God still is reminding him, be strong and courageous. And I think Joshua, obviously, and I don't know this, but he was probably a very intelligent guy. And he also had seen Israel complain and whine and get grumpy and fail to follow God like they should. And now he's thinking, I'm the guy in charge. I got a big job. And God knew everything that Joshua was feeling. Be strong and courageous. You got a big job, but I'm a bigger God. So that's a positive example. Now, in the Bible, I don't think it talks about Joshua training up the next person. And if you look in the Bible, what happens is after Joshua, that's the period in the Bible where the judges kind of ruled Israel. And a lot of you have heard this verse, and this is a very sobering verse. It's Judges 17:6. This is after Joshua, so this is probably not a good example of a transfer of leadership. In those days, there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. Oh, boy. Yeah. They were, you know, the proverbial ship without a rudder. They're just doing things the way they think they should do things. I know Jeff, am I correct? You enjoy the movie The Patriot? Okay. I think the guys, we watched that once here at church. Well, there's a scene in that movie that kind of talks about not having a good leader. And it's basically, Mel Gibson plays Benjamin Martin in this movie. And there's a scene in the movie where they're in kind of a political assembly. And one of the representatives is saying, you know what? I really don't want to be told what to do by a tyrant. He's talking about the King of England, by a tyrant that lives 3,000 miles away. I really don't want that. And Mel Gibson's character, Benjamin Martin, says, why should I trade one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away? I think you could say something similar of Israel when, without proper leadership, the self-ruled people, as the message puts it, did whatever they felt like doing. And so that's one of those sobering examples of, oh boy, it is important to have a good leader. And it is important to have that smooth transition of leadership. What I want to do is go into the four keys to a successful baton pass. And my hope is that I can draw again similarities between this actually physically getting passed in a track relay race and the transfer of leadership in our church. So the four keys, and I tried to go in order here. The first one is planning and preparation. And I think we all recognize that the leadership team at Pleasant View has done an incredible job of planning and preparation. Jeff is an awesome, top-level, really, detail person. He really is. He's got great forethought. He plans meticulously, and that is huge in a relay race. We're going to talk about that. Positioning and posture. So right as the exchange, right before this is going to get passed, there's a ton of things that have to go on to make sure the actual pass happens correctly. The third thing, that's where all the action is. You like action, you'd like number three, passing and propulsion. Once this gets passed, that next person that gets it, they are taking off, all right, propelling themselves down the track. And then I think number four is really, really important, and this happens a lot on an actual relay team. Post-race problem solving. Hey, what did we do great? Let's keep doing that. What did we mess up on? We can't do that anymore. How can we fix it? I think those things are big. So, again, as you write those things down, just want to kind of review our goals real quickly again. Number one, pass the baton, pastoral ministry from one person to another in a God-honoring way. And then number two, be a great teammate as part of a greater team. So let's dig into this actual baton pass now. And again, as we do this, and Amy and Lane have graciously agreed to help me here, and I'm going to have them come up in just a moment. But as we go through this, just a reminder again, because I'm just telling you that I had a hard time with this. Try to think about something in this baton exchange that's going to happen that you can pray about. And then try to think of something that can be a cue for you to like, oh yeah, that's when I'm going to pray. And I'm going to make sure that I do that. So I just want to encourage you as we go through this, if something hits you, you're like, yeah, that'd be a great thing to pray about it. I think down at the bottom of the insert, Diane has graciously put, you know, what is my prayer focus? And then what's my prayer cue? Now, here's the reality of it. You may come up with something while I'm talking and write it down. You may not come up with something till next Sunday. Because that's how I am, kind of weird like that. You know, I'll be doing something, all of a sudden it'll hit me, and I'm like, yeah, that's it. So don't, there's no pressure, like, I am not checking papers on the way out, okay? Don't have your prayer focus, do you? Okay, maybe we can get that done by 11. No, I'm not doing that, all right? So I just want to talk about the planning and preparation first, okay? Now, in my son's world, in the military world, they have a name for that. They call that the briefing. Am I right, Dr. Tom? Is that called the briefing? It's called the briefing. Now, he's always going to briefings. I mean, before he goes up in his helicopter, there is always a briefing. It's not, hey, Bagley, go out there and spin that thing up. Let's go. No. I mean, there's always a briefing. And I think even like last Friday, he was telling us he was supposed to go in for his briefing like at 3 or 3:30 a.m. in the morning so that they get briefing done and they get going. I think he actually got to sleep in. I think that got moved back, but... yeah, the briefing is huge. It really is. So here's something about the briefing and the planning and preparation. Hey, what kind of shape are you in? What kind of physical shape are you in? For the baton pass to happen effectively, the spiritual conditioning has to be really good. And it just can't be between Jeff and the new pastor. It has to be us as a body. Our spiritual fitness has to be at a high level. It really does. The second thing would be making your mark. Making your mark. Now, typically what happens in a relay, and Steve, if you wouldn't mind, thank you, if you could put up that diagram of that track. Typically what's going to happen is this. If you look at the track, and you can find the starting line right up here in the right bottom, and over there in the red, as you go around that turn, that's the first exchange zone. Typically what happens is, obviously the runner with the baton is flying, okay? But the person that's getting ready to receive the baton actually starts running before they get the baton. They start moving forward before the baton ever gets there because they want to pick up the baton while they're still moving. It's the fastest way to get the baton, most efficient way to get it around the track. And if you think about this, it applies to like, Jeff handing leadership over to another person. Jeff's running, he's leading, he's preaching, he's conducting ministry, and then when he hands it off, that ministry flows into the next person, and they continue the ministry. They get a quote-unquote running start, Running starts are huge in a relay. The second thing, or the third thing about planning and preparation is communication during the exchange. What are we going to do? So I'm going to actually have Amy and Lane get up here now, and I'm going to grab my little cheat sheet. So, Lane, let's have you stand right here facing forward. Amy, I'm going to have you come back here. So I'm giving Amy the baton. Now, we're going to treat like this center aisle as our lane, okay? So before they ever get in the race, these two are talking. And so Amy's saying, and Lane gave me a little insight into this, which was really cool. When she's running towards her, Lane is going to be looking back, and there's typically a mark that they've made on the track. Now, some tracks let you use chalk. Some tracks say you got to cut a tennis ball in half and put it down on the line. Right, Courtney? Right? So Courtney's been in relay. She knows. So Lane is looking back, and when she sees Amy hit that mark, she is taking off. I mean, we're talking right now we're talking about a 400-meter relay, so everybody's sprinting 100 meters. They are flying, Owen. You think about as fast as you've ever run in your life, that's how fast they're running, okay? Some people say run like you stole something, but we're not going to talk about that in church, okay? So they're flying. Lane is not allowed to look back at Amy. After she sees her hit that mark, her eyes are forward, okay? This is Jeff Millay. This is the new pastor. So how does she know when to stick her hand back to get the baton? Now, a lot of teams will do this. When Amy feels like she's close enough, and she's running full speed, and Lane is getting up to full speed, she will yell. She'll yell something like, stick! And when she hears stick, she puts her hand back. Now, I was talking to Lane before church, and I was asking her, what'd you guys use? I mean, did you use stick? Some people use the person's name. Some people say hit, you know, different stuff. It's really cool. She said, you know, as we got on farther in the season, we didn't have to say anything. She knew when it was time to stick her hand back. That's high-level stuff, I'm just telling you. For athletically, that's high-level stuff. In an exchange with a pastor, from one pastor to another, that's high-level stuff. He'll know when it's time to stick out his hand and get that baton, okay? So this is all being done, seriously, this is all being done at high speeds. And it's not like right here where it's like a quiet, sterile environment. Because it's like they're in one lane. There may be four other teams here, three other teams here. They're all coming screaming in here. You hear stick, 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 all this stuff going on. You know, there may be other words that are used that may be not so nice sometimes. But there's all. It's very intense, okay? So do they have the ability to block out all the distractions? And can they focus on what's going on right here? So real life is, Jeff has all kind of things going on in his life. The new pastor has all kind of things going on in their life. Can they, as they make this exchange, kind of block out those things that may distract them from what they're supposed to be doing when they make this exchange? Okay? Just real quickly, if you take a couple steps closer here, and what I'm going to do is this, and this is typically what happens. Now, if you look up at the screen, Amy would be running through that first turn. So if we want that baton to get around the track as fast as we want it to, what lane should she be in? Or what part of the lane? Should she be running on the outside part of her lane or inside? Because she has to stay in her lane. Inside, right? That's going to be the shortest distance around that turn. So when Amy starts off, she specifically knows. I'm going to just have you step over here, Amy. Good. She's got to be in the inside half of the lane. Why? We want her getting around the turn fast. We want to have a really good time. Lane knows this. She should be in the outside half of her lane because look where Lane's running. At the top of the screen, she's running down that backstretch. She's got a straightaway. She didn't have to go around a turn. So let's get her in the correct orientation. Now watch this. This is really cool. She starts on purpose with the baton in her right hand. It's not like she gets up that day and says, Coach, do you mind if I go left-handed today? Yes, I do. You're going to keep it in your right hand. All right? So this is what happens. When Lane knows it's time to stick her hand back, whether it's a verbal command or whether she just knows it's time, she takes so many steps. Maybe she's counting her steps. I'm not sure. Did you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. She counted. She knew how many steps. Boom. Step whatever. 12. Bam. My hand's going back. So she puts her hand back. She points her thumb down. Point your thumb down. There you go. And get your hand right about up here where my hand is. All right. So right now, you guys did an underhand pass, did you? I can tell right now. So there's like different ways you can pass. You can go underhand pass. You can go overhand pass. You can go push. Okay, I'm telling you, there's tons of detail in this. But they did an underhand pass. So how did you know when to let go of that baton?
When she wraps around it.
So again, in a pastoral exchange, Jeff's going to know when it's time to let go of that baton when the next person grabs that baton. Where do you hold the baton at, Amy?
Bottom.
Down at the bottom. They know their stuff. You hold it at the bottom. Why do you hold it at the bottom? To give her a chance to have a lot of baton to grab onto. So, you know, how will Jeff be holding on to his ministry? You know, will he be at the bottom and give the next pastor, wow, I got a lot to grab onto there with that baton. There's some really cool, I think, similarities between them. Now, here's the other thing. You girls are doing great, by the way. This is like, I was like, how's this going to work? I'm just going to stop right here and say this, because I like had this flashback the other day. I'm like, I can remember when the Callow girls were like your kid's age or a little bit older, like all these four right here, okay? And my wife will probably remember this. Like, we'd come to church and they'd be outside, you know, running around in the grass and their bare feet outside the church. And we would get in the car and go home from church. And I would tell Christy, I said, Christy, Callow girls, they can run. I'm just telling you, they are fast. I mean, just watch them. Look, they were fast. Let's get back to the script. I just remember that. Here's something that's really big. It really is. And I think 2 weeks ago, Jeff, you talked about, you know, that strength, that stamina, that endurance, you know, to keep running hard as you minister. And you do a great, great job of that. But typically the instructions for Amy is real simple. When she's coming in here towards Lane, she is literally thinking about running right through her. She is not running up to her and slowing down, or she's not running up and stopping and then saying, here. She has a picture in her brain of running straight through here. Now, along the way, she's obviously going to hand off that baton. That's kind of big. But she's going to run through the zone. She's going to blast through the zone. Now, if you look at this, this is great. You see how this is a straight line from right to left hand? Here's the other cool thing. What if Amy is coming way too fast and Lane doesn't get out like she usually does? She's got a little bit of flexibility here, right? Like if she gets really, come on up here real close to her, she can still get it to her. She might have to T-Rex it in there, but she can still get her the baton, okay? So that's the cool thing. She doesn't have to worry about it. If she comes up behind her, she could run into her. She could knock her down. The baton could go bouncing down the track, all kind of stuff like that. Here's another thing. Again, remember, I've cut this way down. She's coming in. Now picture this. There are four teams, basically, running together. And let's now put Lane as the fourth runner. That last exchange zone, bottom left. I'm just telling you this, and I know the Callows, and I know a lot of people in here. They are flat-out competitors. Right? God gave them a gift. They want to use it to honor him. It's a cool thing. Lane is like, this is a close race. I got three other people right with me. She has to have, I mean, the person that you put as your fourth runner, and I'm not trying to create like competitiveness among the Callows. Well, actually, I'm the fast. But I'm telling you, you do want your fastest runner right here. But I'm also telling you this. You want to have a great competitor here. And the third thing you want to have is they have to have extreme discipline. Extreme discipline. Because I'm just telling you, everything in her body and her mind is telling her, let's go. So she could have a tendency to take off way too early because she knows they're in a very, very tight race, and Amy simply can't get to her. And it doesn't turn out so well. So whoever is the future pastor here, they have to have extreme discipline. They're going to have some patience with how this transfer takes place. Because if they don't, and I'm just, they have to be, because a lot of times you'll see that. They took off to her. And you can tell right away, you're like, oh, they were too antsy. You know, they just needed to wait one more half of a second, then it would have worked out really, really good. Girls, you did great. I appreciate that a lot. So here's the reality of this whole exchange. When it happens and the timing's perfect and they've practiced and they've prepared, it really is a cool thing to watch, okay? It's caused a lot of coaches' hair to fall out, a lot of coaches' hair to turn gray, but it is a really cool thing to watch. But I want to talk about real quickly, I would just be real honest with you, this doesn't always work out. And then it's like, what do we do after that? So we're going to look at something as far as what's your reaction to poor timing? What's your reaction to a mishandled baton? What's your reaction to a dropped baton? Okay? So we're going to go with three letters. They're the letter E, the letter R, and the letter O. And we're going to give a word to each one of those. So if things don't work out the way you wanted them to, this is part of the post-race problem solving. This is part of the debriefing after things happen. So one of the things is, what kind of problem solving technique are you going to use? So again, the letters E, R, and O stand for this. The event, which could be a drop baton. R stands for response. How are we going to respond to that? And a lot of times the way you respond to that results in what the letter O stands for, and that's the outcome. How's this thing all going to turn out? So I've written up, and Steve's graciously put it up on the screen, you know, I've put a couple extremes up there, right? So let's say the baton gets dropped. You can become bitter. What were they doing? Seriously. She never did that in practice. You can go down that path pretty easy. Or, hey, I think we can do better. And I think, yeah, we can. And if we're teachable and coachable and we're willing to change a little bit, I think we can make this thing better. Or it could be resignation. It could be you're not mad, you're not upset, you're just like, well, that didn't work out. I have no idea what to do. So nothing ever really happens. Or it can be that resolve of, yeah, let's get after it again. I can't wait to see what happens when we try it again and see if things actually improve. So I just have a couple instances that I want to kind of use as examples. And again, what would happen if, you know, we had a candidate to be our next pastor and the exchange is taking place and something didn't work out quite right? What would be Jeff's response? What would be the new pastor's response? What would this, us as teammates, what would our response be? Would we become bitter or would we get better? Would we have resignation or would we have a new kind of resolve? So it's been a few years ago, and I want to talk about the relay, the 4x100-meter relay that Steve had up on the screen. And I was fortunate, I was coaching a group of ladies at Crestview. And they, one year they got fifth in the state in the 800-meter relay. That is when everybody runs half a lap, okay? They run 200 meters. They got fifth in the state. The next year, the following year, three out of those four girls were back and were extremely excited about what they could do, extremely excited. They brought a new member onto their team. They really wanted to improve on their finish at the state meet. It was interesting because our fastest girl on that team, it was their senior year, she was hurt for most of the year. Well, she got healthy towards the end of the year. She's back on the relay. So this is an example of, you know, that event, response, outcome. So in track and field in Ohio, the first level of competition and tournament is called the district meet. And for that relay, you had to run a qualifying race. If you were in the top eight, then you got to come back on a Saturday and run in the top eight. And then if you were in the top four there, then you get to go to regional. So here's this high-performing team, a lot of expectations, a lot of goals, and they start running their qualifying race. It's just a qualifying race. So the first exchange went great. Second exchange went great. Third exchange, it's on the back stretch at Minster. The baton goes bouncing down the track. We'll finish. You don't get a second chance. You're done. So, I'm the coach. What do you say? I still remember where I caught up to him. I caught up to him down, if you've ever been to the Minster track, down close to the concession stand, and they're all just crying. Just sobbing. And I can't remember what I said, but I know it wasn't profound. Okay? Because I was really disappointed for them. I really felt bad for them. Well, here's the deal. They got a choice with their response. Bitter or better? Resignation or resolve? Now, I did not have a speech like that for them. I'm just telling you. But there was another race coming up in the qualifying round. It wasn't their favorite race. Their favorite race was the 800 relay that they just dropped the baton in. But it didn't strike me until last week. I'm telling you, this has been a long time ago. It didn't strike me until last week. Jeff, how did you find those four girls? I found them together. There weren't two over here and two over here, you know, like saying, well, if those two would have had their act together, we would have never dropped the baton. I didn't find one over here all by herself, maybe the girl that dropped the baton, and the three over here saying, what's her deal? I didn't. They were together. So whatever was going to happen next, they were going to do together. And I'm just telling you, talk about a slow learner right here. It took me that long to realize that I found them together. And so the next race was less than an hour later. I mean, they've all been crying. And I'm like, boy, I don't know how this is going to turn out. Because it's like, it's the 4x1 relay. It's like the most technical exchange there is. And they just have come off a bad experience dropping the baton. And so they're in the qualifying. It's Thursday evening. They run the 400-meter relay. And I'm pretty sure that I watched that race with my mouth like this. Because you talk about resolve. It was on. They realized this was their shot. And wow, they grabbed it. So they got out of district. They went to regionals. Again, this is not their favorite race, but I think all of a sudden it was. They got out of regional. And so we go to the state track meet in the 4x1 relay. And at that time, the state track meet was in Ohio State's football stadium. It was really cool. It was an unbelievable venue for a high school runner to run in. So they run the qualifying race, and I'm keeping track on my stopwatch because I know only the best eight teams get to come back on Saturday. And I'm like, we get done, and I'm like, ooh, it's really close. I don't know if we made it or not. Well, the only way you could tell then, now you can look on your phone and get it like that. But then I had to go down underneath the stadium. They had these big boards that they post the results on. So I'm waiting down there. Pretty soon they post them up there. I run up there, look at them. We're the eighth team to qualify. It gets better. We're the eighth team by 0.01 seconds. 1/100th of a second, we made it into the finals. We barely made it. All right? So, again, those of you that know track and field, you have a not-so-great time. I mean, the good thing was, yeah, we get to run another day. The bad thing is we're in lane one. Okay? Now, in track, you might think, well, what's the big deal with lane one? Well, the big deal with lane one is your turns are a lot tighter. And typically, anybody that goes to a track, they walk, run, jog, work out in lane one, and sometimes it gets a little rut in it. It really does, just because a lot of people have been in that lane. We're in lane one, all right? So again, the whole thing is, how did they respond? They had an event of dropping baton. What was the response? Did it affect the outcome? It definitely did. That day, they ran faster than they'd ever run before in their lives. They got third place in the state and just showed a lesson to their old coach. That's how you're supposed to act. That's how you're supposed to respond. And so, again, what would happen at our church if something didn't go just quite right? You know, would we all have that resolve? Would we all have that, let's get a little bit better? Steve, do we have the clip? Okay, we might have the clip. All right, good. And Steve's been super, super kind. But this clip that you're going to see comes from 2016 in Rio, Brazil at the Olympics. This is our women's 4x100-meter team, if it comes up. And I'm just going to kind of, it's a real quick clip. But again, it's another example of this ERO thing, event, response, outcome. And if it doesn't come up, I can talk us through it. All right, so we're gonna kind of watch lane two. The United States is in lane two, and the first exchange is going to be just fine. That's us in lane two. We're kind of in the all blue, and then you're going to see something not so good happen here. That's us standing there bumping into each other and all that kind of stuff. And then we go ahead and finish. Okay? Now, we finished right here. They finished about 23 seconds behind the other runners. And you, what happened, you're going to see it coming up here in slow motion. Why did they drop the baton? Watch this. She gets hit by the runner in the lane beside her and can't make the exchange. Okay? So, Steve, if you wouldn't mind pausing it maybe a moment, thank you for that. So what happened, and if you saw that, the runner in lane three bumps her. Bumps our second runner. Her timing gets thrown off. She can't make the exchange, and they drop the baton. Well, here's something really cool. That runner, our third runner, her name's Allison Felix. She has won more track and field gold medals than anybody that's a female in the history of the United States. She was well experienced, and what she told her teammates was this: we need to pick up that baton. And we need to go ahead and finish the race. For this reason, we cannot appeal unless we finish the race. If we just stand here and walk off the track, we're not allowed to appeal. But if we finish, we can appeal. So they finished, again, like 23 seconds behind everybody. They appealed, and they let them run again. Okay? Now, here's the thing. They let them do a rerun. They did this in the morning. They came back later in the day to do their rerun, and they're the only people on the track. And they're flat out running against the clock. They got to come in the top eight times to get to the final. So, Steve, you wouldn't mind playing it. Next, what you'll see, and again, that's one of the teammates consoling Allison Felix. And now here they are later in the day, all by themselves. This is weird. I mean, if you were a relay runner, this is just really weird. They are flat out just running against the clock. So you can see right here, that was a right to left, just like Lane and Amy did. This is going to be a left to right pass. That was the one they messed up. They nailed it. Now just run it against the clock. Yeah. Okay, thank you, Steve. That was awesome. Here's the deal. They had to be in the top eight times to make the finals. They ran the fastest time. They ran the fastest time. So it was interesting. The team that they bumped out of the finals by doing this rerun was China. China then filed an appeal. Didn't think they should have been allowed to do that rerun. The appeal was rescinded. They made the finals. Now, here's the deal. Since it was a rerun, guess what lane they were in for the finals? One. They put them in lane one for the finals, and they won the gold medal. So, again, just a really cool response to what happens if things don't go the way you thought that they should go. And I just thought it was really cool because I think, you know, Allison Felix, a great mentor to those younger runners, and letting them know this is what we need to do to file the appeal. I think we have a huge advantage in having Jeff Millay. I just think he's a high-level mentor for whoever that next person may be to give that really good advice to. The other thing I really liked, and you might have picked this up on the video, when they did the rerun, when Allison Felix handed off the baton, and this would be like Jeff Millay handing off the baton, she's yelling encouragement to the next girl. Her mouth is open and moving, telling her, let's go. And we're super fortunate to have a leader like Jeff that is all about that kind of thing. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate that. So, as we move forward, and maybe let's talk about the baton pass. Go ahead. It's happened, and the new pastor has the baton. Then what's kind of like our response to that new pastor? And earlier this summer, one of the athletes that I'm coaching right now, we have them do a little summer check-in. And one of the things we asked was, you know, what are some of your individual and team goals? And she wrote what I'm going to share with you as one of her individual goals. And I actually had a chance to see her last night, and I asked her, I'm going to be talking in church tomorrow. Is it okay if I use your quote because I really like it? She said, yeah, you can use it. So let's say we have a new pastor. The exchange taken place. It was awesome. Or maybe it was one of those that didn't work maybe the first time, but the next time, yeah, because our response was where it should be. Will we move forward with conviction, not comparison? Will we move forward with conviction, not comparison? So what would like our conviction be with a new pastor? To honor and serve God. That's our conviction. I would just tell you this. I'm going to talk about myself real quick again. It's real easy for me to compare. Real easy. That's a wide gate for me to walk through. The narrow gate is conviction. What should be my biblical, God-honoring response? You guys have a prayer queue yet? Do you have one? It's hard. So let me just give a couple examples that you may want to, or maybe this will help, maybe it won't. But how about the communication between all parties involved? Between our leadership and the new pastor, between Jeff and the new pastor. Like when they make that exchange, Lane and Amy, communication is huge, huge. Now they eventually got to such a high level where they didn't even have to do a verbal thing. But yeah. So what will your cue be? Will you hear news like on TV or on a podcast and that'll remind you, oh yeah, that's communication. I need to pray for the communication involved in the pastoral exchange. Both pastors are mindful of running hard through the zone. Would you pray for that? Would that be something you'd want to do? Like, we're telling Amy, you run right through her. And we're telling Jeff, you just keep right on going, Jeff, until you hand things off. So maybe your cue might be you see somebody running. Oh, yeah. I got to pray about running hard through that exchange zone. How about response? Maybe my response to events that could occur during the exchange. Maybe my cue is I lose my car keys. I can't find the TV remote. Your kids have a meltdown. Someone cuts you off. Somebody doesn't empty the trash. You know, a lot of times, oh boy, I'm responding not the way I'm. That'd be a good thing to pray about as far as the response if something doesn't work out in the pastoral baton exchange. Now here's my prayer. This took me a while to get this prayer cue. It really did. And this is the one that I'm going to have starting in August. I'm going to be doing a lot of driving up and down 224 through Indiana. And every day I'm going to do that. When I do it, I'm going to do it twice, coming and going. Going and coming, however that goes. But I'm going to be driving past a running track. And that's going to be my cue. And my cue is going to be that Jeff and the new pastor keep running the race marked out for them by God, that they would keep running hard through the zone. And that's going to be my prayer cue and my kind of prayer focus as I pray. But I have to have those. I really do. So, again, that was kind of hard for me to finally come up with. So I want to kind of wrap up today You guys have been great listeners. I appreciate that. And I want to talk about Romans 12, 3 through 8. And this really goes into being a great teammate as part of a greater team. And Romans 12, verses 3 through 8, and this is from the New Living Translation, says this: because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other in His grace. God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So just to kind of wrap up today, as you think about this team right here, I think sometimes we sell ourselves short about what gifts we have. But I really do think that this group has a lot of really, really cool gifts. Really does. And I think we have a leader in Jeff that encourages us to use those gifts. And he has a way of doing that. To me, it's really interesting, and I'm not trying to embarrass Jeff at all, but it's interesting to me how he can make connections to everybody on this team. And that's huge. It really is. So, again, I would just encourage us to keep using our gifts. And, again, our goal is to pass that baton, that pastoral ministry, from one person to another in a God-honoring way, and just encourage us to be great teammates as part of a greater team. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. There's no doubt he shared an enormous amount that we can really take the time to process and think about, and I appreciate your willingness. And in a very real sense, if you think about it, it's really not about us. If we are God's children by faith in Jesus Christ, it's about the fact that we are so privileged, and we want to do whatever we can do individually and as a body to honor and glorify Him. So my encouragement, just as we close, is that you wouldn't pass this morning on as if it was just another 30-minute time where we sat and listened, but we would humbly, prayerfully go before God and ask His Spirit to truly penetrate what's going on in our minds and our hearts and how we can come together to most effectively honor the Lord, who is worthy of all. He really is. Let's close in prayer.